सावधानकरणो भगवान् विविधा प्रेमस्मितेन नयनाम्बुरुहं
विजिम्भः
भूताय विश्वविजयाय न च भूताय विश्वविजयाय च नो विषादम् मर्यागिरापनय तत्पुरुषा पुराण There's a garland behind my door downstairs that can be given to Dolly. The Lord, who is supreme and who is the oldest of all, is unlimitedly merciful. I wish that He may smilingly bestow His benediction upon me by opening His lotus eyes. He can uplift the entire cosmic creation and remove our dejection by kindly speaking His directions. Purport. Or pass it around, put it on the neck. Excellent. The Lord is ever increasingly merciful upon the fallen souls of this material world. The whole cosmic manifestation is a chance for all to improve themselves in devotional service to the Lord. And everyone is meant for that purpose. The Lord expands Himself into many personalities who are either self-expansions or separated expansions. The personalities of the individual souls are His separated expansions, whereas the self-expansions are the Lord Himself. The self-expansions are predominators, and the separated expansions are predominated for reciprocation of transcendental bliss with the supreme form of bliss and knowledge. The liberated souls can join in this blissful reciprocation of predominator and predominated without materially concocted ideas. The typical example of such a transcendental exchange between the predominator and the predominated is the Lord's Rasa Lila with the gopis. The gopis are predominated expansions of the internal potency, and therefore the Lord's participation in the Rasa dance is never to be considered like the mundane relationship of man and woman. It is rather the highest perfectional stage of the exchange of feelings between the Lord and the living entities. The Lord gives the fallen souls the chance for this highest perfection of life. Lord Brahma is entrusted with the management of the complete cosmic show. It's a nice way to put it, a complete cosmic show. And therefore he prays that the Lord bestow His blessings upon him so that He may execute its purpose. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 9th chapter, 25th verse, in the matter of Lord Brahma's prayers for creative energy. Sometimes people want to know what is the purpose of this material world. So ultimately, the purpose is to improve ourselves in devotional service to the Lord. Everyone is meant for that purpose. There's so many things happening in the mundane plane, but it doesn't really make any difference in the long run. It has some temporary effect. There's the creation, there's the maintenance period, there's so much time goes by. In that period of time, in the history books, we read about kings and counts and prime ministers and artists and poets. The history that we have, maybe 200 years, 1,000, but the universe is existing for billions and billions of years. In the Vedas, we find about people who are devoted to the Lord, who have some kind of relationship with the Lord. Their histories are here for an adi kal, for a limited time. This is the history of Brahma at the creation of the universe. He was frustrated because he didn't know how he should create. He's a new, like a new baby, but he's not limited with a baby kind of undeveloped senses. He was born with all developed senses, but he didn't know how to use them for creation. So he had this desire to create the universe, but he didn't know what to do. So it was very frustrating to be existing and not know who you are, the only entity in the universe. So now he decided to make prayers for the creative energy. So this is one of his prayers. You're supreme, you're the oldest, you're unlimitedly merciful. Open his lotus eyes. Uplift the entire cosmic creation. Remove our dejection by kindly speaking his directions. It's the Lord silent. Brahma is there. His father is sleeping. Doesn't know what to do. So he wants some direction. He wants to follow the instructions. So somehow Prabhupada used as an example that the creation, where all the individual separated souls, there's the two kinds of souls Prabhupada explained here. There's the Lord himself, who's not separate. I think what's the word he uses? The self-expansions. The Lord expands himself. So those are self-expansions. And there's the separated expansions. So we are the separated expansions. We are part of the Lord, but we're very minute. Our real purpose is to exchange a loving relationship, a loving exchange with the Lord. But in order for there to be love, he had to give us the option not to love him. Otherwise, we'd be some kind of robotic clones or something. Some robot. If we didn't have any free will, then the emotions or feelings wouldn't be there. So somehow we opted for the other option. the option to be not in a direct loving relationship with the Lord. How that happens is a kind of mystery. It all gets revealed to us when we go back to wherever we were when we made that decision. And so somehow we're here in the material world, and we've forgotten our relationship with Krishna. We're getting this option, this opportunity to remember the Lord and reestablish a loving relationship, to awaken them. If we fully awaken our loving relationship with Krishna, then we go back to Krishna. Then there's no reason for us to remain in this material world. So Brahma, he's the first person, he's very much in need of this relationship, both practically and emotionally in every way. So he's offering this beautiful prayer. Adabra Karuna, unlimitedly merciful, Bhagavan Vivridha. Prema Smitena, smiling, loving smile, Nayana Amburudham, the lotus eyes. It's very poetic, his prayer. Nayana means eyes, Amburudham means lotus. Vijimban, Uthaya, Vishwa, Vijayaya. For the glory of the universe. Very beautiful prayer. Adabra Karuna, unlimitedly merciful. Lord doesn't have to. We could just be put in some kind of a trash can and forgotten about. But he doesn't do that. We're given an option, given an alternative to return to him. The whole material world is kind of an opportunity to practice loving and relationships for the eventually coming back to loving him. We're putting our love in other areas. Prabhupada once, when we gave a lecture, he's saying, everybody's looking for a friend. Man looking for a friend and a woman and a man, woman and a woman, man and a man. Somehow everybody's looking for a friend. But it's hard to find a perfect friend. In this material world, everybody's incomplete. So nobody is able to be that perfect friend. Because they're all so lacking in themselves. But Krishna is complete. He doesn't lack anything. So he can actually be the perfect friend. Since he doesn't need anything, he can look out for the interest of his devotee. All that Krishna really wants to do is have this loving exchange with his devotees. That's where the bliss is. Prabhupada refers here liberated souls, they can join into the blissful reciprocation of the Lord and His predominated living entities. They directly can enter into it. Even while we're in this material world, through devotional service, we can start to, the devotees start to take shelter of the Lord and do everything as a service to the Lord, and the Lord reciprocates with them. Some devotees are worshipping the different deities, like in Mayapur. The devotees worship Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, or Narsingadev, or Radha Madhava, Panchatattva. They start developing different relationships with the deities. One lady, she was going blind, we got her eyesight back. One devotee is bringing mangoes to Narsingadev, and then he changed his mind and bring it. That night, Narsingadev came in the dream and said, "Why don't you give me my mangoes? I like mangoes." Different things, you know. So, in a very rudimentary way, they started to develop some relationship with the deity form, and different things happen. So, the Mayapur deities are very active, and if one ventures to do services for the deities and to meditate on them and pray to them, they reciprocate. So that starts to awaken our relationship with Krishna to the deities. Some people are able to. Deities make it easier. You have a physical, visible personality there that you can relate with. Otherwise, sometimes through prayer and through worship, one is able to feel the presence of the Lord in the heart. Every devotee should experience that Chaitya Guru, the Lord in the heart who guides us, the inner voice that gives us proper spiritual guidance. But sometimes we don't know, is it my inner voice, the Lord speaking to me, the Super Soul, or is it my mind? Because the two sound similar. So until one is very advanced and able to distinguish the two, the one has a spiritual master, Diksha and Siksha Gurus, instructing spiritual masters who help one to understand which is who's speaking, the Super Soul or the mind. And this way, that's another way, so we develop our relationship with the Lord in the heart. And Kriya Prabhupada talks here about Rasa Lila, which is something completely on the liberated platform. He mentions the gopis are predominated expansions of the internal potency. So the Lord is dancing with gopis. Prabhupada explains it's not a mundane relationship, but it's the highest perfectional stage of the exchange of feelings between the Lord and the living entities. Exchanging the feelings. With the Lord, those loving feelings are exchanging loving feelings. It's the expansion of spiritual bliss. That's the highest happiness. That's that's the expression of love. Love takes form in the form of different feelings. So how to express those? You know, you can do it through prayers, through poetry. Well, here Krishna gives an option of expressing it through dancing. Through a loving dance. That was an exceptional opportunity. So this is a perverted reflection of the material world. I mean, people that they don't have such profound feelings. What they express in dance is maybe more on an organic level or something, I don't know, biological level. But the idea of course, different kinds of dance are there. So they have a different way of expressing some kinds of feelings through their dance, especially if a man and a woman are dancing. Well, this dance is a very, it's not a sensual dance, it's a very loving dance. A lot of people like to see this dance of Krishna and Radharani, but they're not allowed to go to see. Shiva went and applied, you know, to Radharani that he wanted to see the Rasa-lila. Radharani said, sorry, there's only one man in the Rasa-lila, and that's Krishna. Everybody else is a gopi. It's a lady. So Krishna expands into millions of forms, many as to our ladies, gopis. So then Lord Shiva said, well, if I become a gopi, so he did a kind of transcendental sex change. He had the mystic power, he didn't have to go on operation or anything, just transformed himself into a gopi. And so then he was given the service of guarding the gate to let nobody unauthorized come in. So from there he could also see the Rasa-lila and he could guard the gate. So in Vrindavan, they have what's called Gopeshwar Shiv, the gopi form of Shiva. So if you want to get into Vrindavan, you have to get the blessings of that Shiva. So they have he's the guardian. In Mayapur, there's a guardian Shiva like that. It's called Proda, or called the Vrindav Shiva. So we pray to him to be allowed to enter into that. In a reciprocation, so Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he was in the mood like this, mood of a gopi, mood of a devotee. So he was exchanging these feelings with the Lord. Recently we had Rath Yatras in Berlin and Cologne and Moscow and so many places. So we were discussing how Lord Chaitanya in his dancing with before the Rath Yatra car, he was dancing in such a way to please the Lord Jagannath. And he got very much into the mood of Radharani, the Supreme Gopi, that whether, just like love and lover, they want to see whether the other is thinking, or they forgot. So, sometimes Lord Chaitanya would dance in front of the chariot and it would be moving, and then sometimes he'd go behind, did they go kind of fall a little behind, like testing, are you thinking about me, like in the mood of Radharani, then the Jagannath's chariot wouldn't move. It stopped a bit. There are people trying to pull it, you know, what's going on here? But the intense love between Lord Chaitanya and the Muda of Radharani and Jagannath, that time Radharani was like taking over Lord Chaitanya's senses. So he could experience what she experiences. And so there was this kind of reciprocation going on. So then Lord would come up a little bit, and the rod start moving a little bit, and they go back, go stop, back. No. The Jagannath that way indicating, I'm thinking about you. I didn't forget you, thinking about you. So this is showing some reciprocation, exchange of feelings. Maybe in this public arena, doesn't show so much of Jagannath, but then the Ras Lila Krishna was fully demonstrating his emotions, his feelings, his affection. So that's why it's considered a supreme reciprocation between, perfectional reciprocation between the Lord and the devotees. So Prabhupada, one sentence here, he's like sums it, the Lord gives the fallen souls the chance for this highest perfection of life. Brahma's creation of the universe is to give us this opportunity to perfect ourselves. And highest perfection is that we'll be able to directly reciprocate with the Supreme Lord our loving feelings. To make Him our best friend. So that's something very esoteric, very mystical. Friend of God. Start out as servant and become friend. You even become parent or lover. Very esoteric. Exchanging the loving feelings personally, person to person with the Lord. So there's some interesting concepts that are, and principles which are being spoken here. Sometimes I'm thinking that this would form I don't know the storyline yet, but I'm thinking that these principles could be a good book, written kind of as if it was like a fiction book, but using all these principles as a base maybe for a movie or something. Doing it, how the people can develop is gradually revealing little bit by bit. Here, everything's just put right out, put on the table. Srimad Bhagavatam is very straightforward. So sometimes for most people, it's like it's too much. It's given like so much at one time, it's like maybe they can't relate with it. So maybe if it's like given little bit by bit, like someone's trying to discover and finding out. When people go and uncover the hieroglyphics and the pyramids and try to figure out what does it mean. It gets revealed little bit by little bit, new revelations. Here, everything is given so quickly, but it's actually so, it's no less profound. It's just that it was given. He said, just these Sanskrit hieroglyphics here, they've been translated and revealed, and we can understand what it means. And Prabhupada explained it. But what's this being said in this verse? Some of the great Christian mystics are different. It's like the culmination of the realization that they could have a loving relationship with the Lord. I mean, even like the nuns in the Roman Catholic, I heard that they have some ceremony, they get married to Jesus. I don't know exactly what their concept is, but anyway, there's different concepts like that, where those are considered very esoteric rites and very. Here is explaining that this exchanging of our loving feelings with the Lord, and most people, it's like loving feelings, we just go to the Lord, give me my bread, give me this, give me that. We just go to the Lord with our shopping list, and then that actually that's Lord can give us what we want materially. That's, he does that just because he loves us. But the real perfection is when we're exchanging loving feelings with the Lord, and that's something that one has to get very purified to be able to do that. One has to be a liberated soul. Being initiated is this beginning of that. Because when we're initiated, then we are accepted by Krishna on the same kind of a liberated level, even though we may not be fully liberated, but we're accepted on that level of transcendence. So that's why it's considered important to be initiated. It's like a touchstone, turning base metal to gold. It's a transformation. But then at least, in principle, we accept that we are eternal souls, and maybe embodied, but our body is not who we are. We are the eternal soul, and we are the living force in the body. The living force is a spiritual energy of Krishna. And we're meant for exchanging our loving relationship with Krishna. Are you translating? She's shift translators. Didn't like your translation?
No, I didn't translate. I could not translate very well.
So what's happening in the material world is a reflection of what's going on in the spiritual world. But this is considered a perverted reflection, is it? It's not the real reflection, it just gives some indication. Here there are relationships, but there are relationships there. Here the relationships have their limits and limitations, but there the relationships are unlimited. Here there's always the material needs, and there there's no material needs, so there's no material conditioning. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. What's your name again?
Manohar.
Manohar. Are you two related?
We came from the same time. Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question about Lord Jagannath?
Why not?
And after Skanda Yatra, I saw many pictures also of the deities in Mayapur, that they dressed them with Ganesh Vesh. Can you please tell us?
Hati Vesh.
Hati Vesh. What is the meaning?
The Lord has 25 or 24 or 26, 24 or 26 Veshas. Different times of the year he wears the different dresses, sometimes Ram, sometimes Krishna, sometimes Lotus. So one of the Veshas is Hati Vesh. I heard there was, I don't know, we just hear from what these Veshas are more of the internal worship of Lord Jagannath. So there's not a lot written. It's more of a traditions that come down. But Lord Jagannath, there's a book in Oriya language that talks about all the different ways of worshipping the Lord and everything. And there's a lot of customs they have, and when we know that when Pundarik Vidyanidhi objected to some, Jagannath and Balaram smashed him in the face for being impetuous and criticizing his devotees and things like that, thinking things were mundane. So, but the only history I heard about this Hati Vesh was that there was I may not have it exactly straight, but there was a devotee who was praying to Ganesh for who's the absolute truth, and Ganesh revealed to him the form of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, and that if by worshipping that they're the absolute truth, and that he was part of them, he was their servant, he was their subordinate, and that this devotee should worship Jagannath. And that somehow during the time when he was worshipping Jagannath, that Jagannath also took on this Hati Vesh, kind of showing that, yes, Ganesh is in me. But there may be other meanings to this. That's what we heard. Some people, I heard they criticize it now, this question and this thing, some places. It's part of the Jagannath tradition, very esoteric. You can start loading the van. Patrick had a question? Patrick's friend?
No, okay.
Vrindavan Bilasini?
And we talked about this. I heard different opinions about Advaita Acharya and his beard. So, what is the actual? Some have opinion that he didn't have any beard. So how, from which sources we obviously have evidences? Just curious to know. And
the Shastrik Advisory Committee, the GBC, wrote a paper on it. And get the paper and read it. I don't want to bring up any controversies. But papers against me. I wrote that in certain shastras Sachi doesn't have a beard.
It's your opinion.
It's not my opinion. It's
in shastras say that he doesn't have.
And so they use their logic. I'm going to appeal it, but you can see, right? I don't think they're right, but I haven't got around to doing it yet. I have to do that. Thanks for reminding me.
And you said that the deity stands up in relationship, and how else can we feel the relationship of God in this material world? We don't have this, like he is the form that we have, like the gopis or the friends or whatever, how we can get this feeling that he reciprocates.
One is to him serving him, chanting his holy name. He's also present to us in the form of the name. Also by serving his devotee, the spiritual master. Different ways. Having one deity who is your like main deity that you report to, that you worship, the manifestation of Krishna that you directly exchange with, is one way. It's recommended. So everything you do, you report to the deity, trying to please. Madhavendra Purdy, he was worshipping his deity Gopal, Govardhan. Deity said, I want to get sandalwood pulp. He was going all over India trying to get sandalwood for him. Then another deity reciprocates. His deity comes in the dream and tells him to give the sandalwood to the Gopinath and Ramuna. He would be, rather than trying to bring it back 1500 kilometers by walking to hostile places. So like that, some people starts off by having a relationship with a deity, serving a particular deity. And then that may develop. Like, I respect all the deities and pray to them and ask to bless them, but there's like maybe one deity that I'm serving. These are my deities away from home. But there's a home deity that I pray to all the time. That's one way, even though you're not with a deity. You may be the Shingadev, maybe Radhamanan Mahan, or maybe Radhamana, the Mayapur, Radha Shamsundar, Krishna Bhana, whoever. Whoever somehow attracts your sentiments, and that's one way. One way, just as we're serving, we're always praying to Krishna and asking him for help. And one of the different, just in a general sense, to Krishna. And we can also develop a personal relationship with the holy name. Pray to the holy name for mercy, for blessings. How do you say question in Italian?
Domande.
Domande.
know some devotees who are worshipping Bhagavatam as deity. Like Srimati in Vrindavan, she has Bhagavatam as altar, and she's doing arati, and she says more and more she understands that Bhagavatam is a person. It's like the personified also. What's the way of worshipping Bhagavatam? How Bhagavatam reveals his
I have to ask Srimati. But Bhagavatam is a book incarnation. By reading the Bhagavatam we get the association. We feel the spirit, the feelings of the pastimes, the emotions.
So that way it's also deity-like
worship. Bhagavatam is worshipped by different sampradayas. It mentions in the Bhagavatam that the Bhadra Purnima Bhagavatam can be worshipped and given away in charity, and especially in Bhadra Purnima. I think that's coming up in 1 month. Or is this Purnima, Bhadra Purnima? I don't think so. I think it's a nice one, but it could be this one. Ashwin Bhadra, Ashwin Ashar Bhadra. Maybe the next Purnima. Ashar Bhadra, Ashwin Kartik. Bhadra is the second month of the Chaturmas.